Good morning. Let's come back together, find our seats. We like to start our year, one of the first Sundays of the year, reflecting again on God's vision for his church and what God has for Village Bible Church. And I was looking through my notes from last year, and I asked, what are we looking forward to in 2024? And one of the things that I had mentioned was the Dodgers have a chance at the playoffs. It was, and they won it all. So, you know, be careful what you say today. You never know. But Vision Sunday is a chance for us to reorient our ideas for church, reorient our purpose for church, our goals for the church, and make sure that we are on track with what God would have us do. It's like taking a vision test and making sure we can still see that that is a giant E in the middle. My kids got me a new Bible for Christmas, and because my vision is not the same as it was a few years ago, and so they got me this super, super large. Can you guys read that for the balcony? And had my name imprinted on it, so don't steal it. And you know what? I can read it. This is... But sometimes we need to reassess and, okay, how can we see where God is leading us? Now, Vision Sundays, I love Vision Sundays, but at times it's frustrating for me because I'm like, I have to come up with a whole new vision of what God would have his church do. The problem is there's not a whole new vision in the Bible of what God wants his church to do. I mean, so if I came and said, you know what, this year we are going to start a rugby league. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be an over 50 rugby league, and then we're all dead. No, you'd be like, that's not what the church is supposed to do. Not only do we not play rugby in America, but pretty much, but that's not the purpose of the church. And so when we come to a Sunday like this, this is a Sunday that I pray isn't anything revolutionary because we're not rewriting God's word, but something that is more of a course correction and a focus for us of what does God want us to do. And so we do look at our core values as a church. We do look at our vision statement because we want to be sure we don't drift away from that. And so Vision Sundays help us stay on track as a church. And I love the illustration that I've heard that pilots, as they're flying a jet, they are making hundreds of different course corrections as they go, especially the longer the flight. And so that way when you come to Israel with us, we don't land and say, wait, this is Italy. No, you want to make those corrections and go where you're going because different things can happen. And so we want to make sure we don't get off course. And so today is a reminder of what we already know. But it's also hopefully a challenge to us of how can we advance God's work this year? In 2025, what does God want to do through Village? What is he doing through his church in California, in Garden Grove? How can we be part of that? I think it's also helpful as we come to Vision Sunday, as we, throughout the year, we add a lot of people to our church family, and it's a lot of fun, and that's what we want to do. And so this is a chance to say, this is who we are, and make sure we're all rowing in the same direction. Because you've heard me say it, if everyone's rowing, no one has time to drill holes. And so we want to make sure we're doing God's work together. We want to make sure that we are advancing as a church, that we are making a difference on Buaro Street and Garden Grove, the difference God wants us to make. That we're not just sitting here as a social club, that we're not just sitting here watching football in the afternoons together sometimes, which is okay, it's great, but that we're doing God's work and making a difference for the kingdom. Last year we talked about our focus would be to magnify together, and we looked at Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And so we did some things, and we talked a little bit about worshiping together. We did the doctrine of the church and how we are the church together. And we studied John and the beginning of John especially, that talks about creation and that Jesus being the light of the world. Then we pivoted to Genesis and talked about God's majesty and power and who he is in creating everything. And we magnified the Lord together. So this year, as we come and as I've reflected on this year and been praying, we've talked as an elder board, my heart is that we come back to a familiar theme that we haven't visited recently, but we come back to discipleship and say, if this is core to who we are, and it is core to who we are, what does God want us to do this year with discipleship? How do we make this a part of our DNA as a church, make this a part of what we do? And the term that kept coming to mind was contagious discipleship. Contagious discipleship. I think this first came to mind during COVID, and I'm like, nah, I can't use that. But it's still been percolating in my head, because contagious is the idea that, and we all get it from the news in the last 5 years, of catching something from each other, right? And in a good way, contagious discipleship is, I'm so excited about what God's doing, and I'm seeing him work through discipleship, and others see that, and they catch the vision, and they catch what's going on. Or maybe we're meeting with some people, and we all are encouraging each other to disciple. And so it's having an approach to discipleship that others want, that others catch. And we'll talk about that a little bit more this morning. I think of Matthew 5:16, where Matthew says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Contagious Christianity. I do God's work. I glorify him, and others then bring glory to him because they see what is going on. And then the idea of discipleship, and we've talked about this, but discipleship is that lifelong process of growing as a disciple, of a follower of Jesus. And here, as we use it in this context, I'm meaning more discipling, the act of disciple making. And discipling is an intentional relationship that is purposely walking through life with another person or people so that you can encourage, equip, and challenge each other with loving accountability to follow Christ and disciple others. A long definition that basically says we're called to help each other walk with God and grow closer to him. And we're called to make that part of who we are. In fact, as we're going to see, that was the Great Commission. As you're going through life, as you're walking through life, do what? Make disciples. And if that's Jesus' command to us, one of his final commands to us, we better listen. And that better be part of our DNA. That better be what we're seeking to do. And so as we talk about this morning, I want to do two things. I want to go through some of our core values of discipleship, those things that make up discipleship, and remind ourselves of those. And then I want to jump to 2 Timothy 1 and look at an example of Paul trying to fan the flame of enthusiasm, of energy, of commitment to discipleship into Timothy. And so we start by thinking through even what is the very vision statement of our church? What is the foundation of the church? And our vision statement is to build Christ-focused families that disciple their communities for him. Or in other words, if we want to put that in a little bit more of a descriptive term, we want to be a church family of vibrant, growing disciples that are in turn discipling others in our communities to follow Jesus. And so we've stated that our purpose as a church is to make disciples, to be disciples that make disciples. And so when we talk about contagious discipleship, we're talking about doing that in a way that is like, wow, I want to be part of that. Look what God is doing. And as we think about discipleship, that's where we come to our four core values that are on the wall: outreach, community, spiritual growth, and ministry. And these are the parts of Christian life that really are areas that the Bible instructs us all to be growing in, all to be developing, all to be practicing. You can't just pick and choose and leave any of those out and be a mature Christian. And so when we think of discipleship, we think of growing in those four areas ourselves and then helping others grow in those four areas. And as a church, we can help each other grow in these areas. As a church, we should practice all four of those areas. And so I want to go through these and think about, what does it mean to have outreach as a church? What does it mean to be a church of community, of spiritual growth, and of ministry? Because everything we do should come back to these four core values. If it doesn't, like a rugby league, probably shouldn't do it. But we should be laser focused on what does God want us to do as a church. So the first core value is outreach. And in your notes, the verb I would use for that is sharing. God wants his church to be devoted to outreach. Sharing the gospel with those next door, with those around the church, in our circles of communities, and around the world. And so this involves both the things we do as a church that are reaching out in our local area and our missions program and things that we do to support missionaries and to send missionaries. Outreach, sharing is one of the reasons we're still on this planet. It's one of the reasons God has left us, as 2 Corinthians 5 said, to be his ambassadors, to be his spokespeople. We are entrusted with the good news of the gospel. And that is a sacred trust that we're to act on. I mentioned Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so discipleship starts at outreach. Now I know that some definitions start after someone's come to Christ. I like thinking of it as the entire process of bringing someone to Christ and growing in Christ and maturing in Christ. And so discipleship starts at outreach. Now, one of the things as we go through these I want to think through is, okay, how can this be contagious? How can we as a church help each other with outreach? How can we spur each other on? Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another. And you've heard us talk about that, sort of the electric cattle prod. You get someone, stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so what I want to do with each of these is I'm going to ask for some interaction this morning. So I'm sorry if you had planned for a half hour nap. We're going to talk a little bit. So when we think of outreach, when we think about sharing the gospel, both locally and abroad, how can we help each other do that? How can we spur each other on? How can we be contagious in how we do it? And so I just want to ask for ideas this morning in interaction. What are things that maybe help you share the gospel, help you do outreach that others can do? So what are things we can do to spur each other on to things like this? I know I'm sort of hitting you cold with this. Now in the next three, you're going to be ready. Any ideas for outreach? What can a church do to help each other do this? Pray for each other. And what? And with each other. Yeah. Pray. And we talk about having your one that you're praying for, but then pray with others about that. You know, I might go to someone and say, hey, I am praying for so-and-so to come to Christ. Will you pray for them too? That's a way that now we encourage each other. There's a hand over here, Sarah. Yeah. So doing the work together and coming together. It is so much nicer to do it with a friend than alone. I mean, can we all agree with that? Some of you are introverts. You're like, nope, that is wrong. Just let me do it by myself. But especially outreach, I think doing that together is a powerful thing. Some of you came to our house to see Christmas lights this year. And we invited a small group from church, and we invited all of our neighbors. And we just wanted to see what would happen. And it was great. And the interactions were great. And our neighbors were blessed. And neighbors were there that didn't know Jesus. And they were surrounded by people that loved Jesus. And we were able to talk about that. And it was a good thing. You all encouraged us in our outreach. And that was a blessed thing. Other ideas? One more. Joanne. Yeah. No, that's really, I don't know if you could hear it, but some honest conversations with each other that this is a struggle. Anyone in here have a hard time just going up to someone and telling them the gospel? Anyone? No, yeah, we do. And I don't know why that is, because it's the best news ever, but I struggle with that. You're like, you're a pastor. That's So that is an in sometimes, because I can say, hey, I'm a pastor of a local church. And that opens a door, but we all have different doors we can open. But talking with each other and saying, it's okay that that's a struggle. Let's get through it together. Let's deal with it together. Phil.
So many times, you know, I find that just telling other people, whether they're believers or not, what God is doing in your life,
yeah,
turns into a conversation about salvation and the gospel.
Amen. Amen. And so these are ways we can help each other share, that we can help each other be about this core value of outreach and seeing what God is doing. I think these are ways we motivate each other and encourage each other. And so this year, invite someone to church this year, but ask each other, hey, who are you going to invite? Who are you going to bring? What day are they going to be there? I'll be sure to be there. I'll be sure to greet them and make sure that it's a good experience. But there's ways that we can come together. I know we've started offering yard signs, and I know there's some in the office. We'll put those out again next week. But yard signs are a way of just putting them out and saying, hey, you're invited to church. I love in our neighborhood, we have three of us that come to Village. And so I drive around the neighborhood, and I'm like, there's a sign. There's a sign. There's a sign. Glen Street, you could cover like every house. What does that do when people see five signs? That is actually a way that we come together to do outreach in some amazing ways, because that's like, okay, that reinforces, and it means it's a safe place to come. Those neighbors aren't that weird. No. But then we want ways for people to come to church. As the some of the recent studies have said, many of the people that don't go to church are willing to come to church in our culture right now. And culture comes and goes, and I understand that, but they're willing to come to church if they're asked. And honestly, if we don't only ask, but we say, hey, I'll go with you. I'll sit with you. Come to lunch with me afterwards. And so we break down some of the barriers of this is a place I've never been to. I walk in the doors. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how long that guy up front's going to preach. And we break that down by being with them and through community. But praying together, Jessica, that's so important as a way that we can encourage each other. I think also coming together to do God-sized things. What are some things we do as a church that you could not do alone in the area of outreach? Second Harvest, right? Do you know yesterday for Second Harvest, we had over 90 families come? Almost three times what we had 6 months ago. It was great to see that many people there and people being ministered to. Second Harvest, if you're doing that by yourself, it's hard. But we come together. What else? And so that's a way we motivate each other, and it's contagious. And the more we do it, the more we see God work. What else do we do that really takes a village? Living Nativity? Ah, no, you can just have Mary. And no one else. No set. No. Living Nativity. That's one of those points that I, as a pastor, am so proud of this church. Because we've come together. I don't know whether you know this, but someone came to know the Lord this year at Living Nativity. And accepted Christ. That's because we were willing to motivate each other to do outreach and do it together. That's a soul that is in heaven. In fact, I think part of ways we motivate each other and be contagious about our discipleship is to tell stories of what God is doing. And I was just talking to some of the ministries, and at least five people accepted Christ this last year through Ministries of Village. And we don't say that enough, but that's five parties in heaven. And that's five souls that will be in heaven with us. And that is worth celebrating. Then I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's do this. Let's disciple. Let's do these things together. Anything else we do as a church that you couldn't do alone? Awana, VBS, Project Touch, Craft Fair, Rancho Santa Marta. Yeah. We could just go on and on and on. I have a list here. You guys hit most of the things on my list, actually. Missionary support as a group, because we are able to do more as a group for some of our missionaries than any one of us can do alone. And so these are ways that we prod each other, that we stir up each other, that we're contagious in our outreach. These are important things. Don't lose heart in some of these things just because we've done it before. Sometimes we're like, I think in America, and this is a little bit my personality too, so a little bit of confession here. I like new. I like change. Some of you don't like change, and I get that. I'll drive different streets home just because I haven't seen that street in a while. Why not? The 30 extra seconds is really exciting. But sometimes in America, we can think that new is better or that new is worth our time and old isn't. Don't lose heart in some of these ministries that are winning people for Christ just because we've done it before. And so something like Living Nativity, every year we assess, is this what God wants us to do? Because we know it's a lot of work. We know that it's a lot of work for the whole church family. But when we see souls coming to Christ, we're like, okay, we can do this. We can do this. Because that's the beginning of discipleship and the beginning of contagious discipleship. I've shared this before, but it was too good not to again. On the billboard of Ganahl Lumber, the purveyor of all wisdom. It is so good. A single leaf working alone provides no shade. Right? But together we can do more. And so, yes, individually we're to do outreach, but corporately and together we're to do outreach. And so our challenge is individually then, okay, identify my one. Be praying for someone. How many of you know someone that needs Jesus? Okay, that's every hand here. And that means you have someone you could be praying for. And start praying for them. Get others to pray for them. Look for opportunities. That's the stick figures that we have on that board that we bring out. But ask, who needs Jesus that I can pray for daily? And intentionally get to know and invite to church this year. And in your notes, again, and we do this every year, and I think it's really healthy to do this every year, write down a name or write down initials. Who does God want you to pray for? That has been another joy of mine, is to hear so many people say, my person came to know the Lord. My person is walking with Jesus. My person loves Jesus now. And we need to share those stories and pray for those people. Second core value. So we start with outreach, and that's where our spiritual walks start. Someone tells us about Jesus, and we come to him. But community, and then sometimes we come to him after we've been involved in community, sometimes before community. But God wants us to be a loving community. God wants his church to be devoted to building real community. And this is, again, I want to nuance this a little bit and specify this, because we could have incredible community over rugby. If you all love rugby. Okay, rugby's the morning thing. We could have incredible community over that. But is that lasting community? Is that community that really makes a difference? So when we talk about fellowship, when we talk about community, we are talking about building Christian relationships that spur us to Christ-likeness, to ministry and outreach. And so building the type of relationships that are prodding us to walk with God and encouraging us to walk with God, to be encouraging us to disciple others and to help others do that. 1 John 1:3-4 says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. So this is how you can be in community with us, John is saying. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And God here through his word is saying when we are fellow believers, when we are walking with God, when we are close to God, the natural result should be fellowship with each other. If we are struggling with fellowship with each other, then we are struggling with our walk with God. And because that is the foundation, that is the basis. And that word for fellowship, koinonia, which is a word that many are familiar with, it really has two aspects, and it means to share our lives and to share our work. And as we are looking at church community, it means both of those things, that we share our lives with each other. We open up with each other. We spend time outside of Sunday morning with other people from church, that we know each other, that we know good things, that we know hard things, we know things we're working on, and we pray for each other. But koinonia also means to partner together in effort, in work, to do God's work together. And so it's life together for the purpose of God, and that's what we want to be a community that does. To do that, we have to prioritize time together. We want to deal with things that come up. If there's interpersonal problems, we talk, we confess, we repent, and we deal with those things. Because God's church is his body and his community, and it's too important to just let things go. To let things divide us, to let things challenge us in that way. And so we want to make it an intentional priority to be a family, an intentional priority to worship together, to study together, to pray together, and even to eat together. But not play rugby together, sorry. Okay, we're game. That one's dead. But don't let your own desires, don't let your preferences, don't let your idea of what friends you think you need stop community that is godly. Stop you from investing in this church. And as God adopted us, we adopt each other. And so we're to be a family of outreach that is sharing. We're to be a loving family that is including and welcoming in. So again, like we did with outreach, what are ways that we can be contagious in our community? How do we help each other build community as a church? Ideas. What was that? Yeah, family events and doing things together, and that might be, you know, we do all kinds of things, from barbecues to family nights, but coming to those and enjoying those and being part of those, yeah. Anyone else? What was that?
Shared projects.
Yeah. It's actually a really cool ministry to help with each other's houses or cars or different things that many of you are so good at, and it builds those relationships. And again, when we do something together, it spurs us on to do it rather than just to leave it for 5 years from now when it's now deferred maintenance and bad. What else? How can we encourage real community? Bible study together, right? If our community is to be based that we're children of God and based in growing in God together, we should grow in God together. And so, studying God's word together is so valuable. There was a voice over here. What was that?
Game night.
No one likes games in this church. No, everyone does. No, things like that are encouraging of this. Over here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And when we encourage each other and we are encouraged by each other, that motivates us then to encourage someone else to be part of that. Yeah, celebrating life events together and remembering those things. That's good.
Women's ministry retreat.
Okay.
Escape the grind, where we can invite neighbors and friends and be able to make friendships.
Yeah. So getting away together, going to some social things together, inviting people. These are all ways that we encourage and spur each other on. I think part of this, too, is noticing when someone's hurting, noticing when someone's not there, and sending a text or a note, just loving people and noticing that. And that then encourages them in their walk with God. It draws us together and encourages them to do the same thing. We'll talk about this in the 2 Timothy passage. But discipleship that's contagious is discipleship of relationships. Classes aren't contagious. Classes are great. They're valuable. Relationship is contagious. Joanne. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So starting at younger ages and building that community and coming together. And so when we think of being a loving community, the question would be, who can I pray for and encourage and include as church family this week? And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And so we're to be speaking these words that build each other up, that encourage each other, that walk through the discipleship with each other. The third core value is spiritual growth. And as we think of discipleship, again, discipleship means we've heard the gospel and then we are sharing the gospel. Discipleship means we are building godly community and encouraging each other to walk with God. But discipleship also means we're growing in the Lord. And there's spiritual growth, and we're deepening our understanding of God's word. We're deepening our understanding of theology. We're deepening our understanding of how God's presence makes a difference in our life. We're being sanctified. All of those things are part of growing. God wants his church to be devoted to spiritual growth. And that happens primarily through God's word, through worship, through prayer, and the spiritual habits, spiritual disciplines. Again, this is... we talk about that all throughout the year, not just on Vision Sunday. We encourage each other to get into God's word. We encourage each other to be in worship. We encourage each other to be in prayer and not just for 30 seconds before a meal. We encourage each other to be doing the spiritual disciplines, because there is no one in this room that is perfectly mature in Christ. If you are, let's talk. But we're not. We're all growing, or we're stagnant. It's one of the two. And so we want to be growing in our Christ-likeness. Psalm 63, 1 through 3, the psalmist just writes about his thirst for God. A man that is a man after God's own heart, a man that is walking with God, writes this: oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. I think about that desire for God, that earnestly seeking him, viewing his steadfast love as better than life. That is a heart that is growing in God. That is a heart that is devoted to spiritual growth. That's the heart we want, and we should pray with each other and for each other to have. So part of our core value as a church is spiritual growth, and so we always want to be teaching God's word, and we always want to have opportunities to go deeper in that, to deepen our walk. But we also, as a church, if we're contagiously pursuing discipleship, we want to make sure that we're growing outside of church, that it's not just head knowledge. We want to make sure that God's truths are getting down to real life and everyday life, and that we are living as men and women of God that make a difference for him. And so spiritual growth, while it's primarily through God's word, worship, prayer, and spiritual habits, I think a conduit for just adding water to every one of those things is community and other believers. And having other believers encourage us and challenge us in these things. And so as a church, we will always be teaching from God's word, and we will always be looking for how can we challenge each other in the spiritual disciplines. And my prayer, especially this year as we think of contagious discipleship, is how can we create a culture where our normal conversations include God? Where our normal conversations are, hey, God is teaching me this, or God taught me this, or pray for me for this. And so one of the things that I'm hoping to do is throughout the year, give sporadically just some questions to ask each other that help us go a little bit deeper. Questions that begin to help us talk about God. And it can be all the way from what has God taught you this week to how can I pray for you this week? Or things like, so what helps you grow spiritually? Or what spiritual discipline has helped you the most? Or what in your past has helped you grow close to God? And beginning to ask questions that are deeper than some of the other questions we ask, like what do you order at Taco Bell? And I'm being facetious, but I'm not, because I want us to go deeper. And I know that there is a thirst to go deeper and to understand each other, to know and be known. And if we're to grow with God, we need to make those conversations about godliness a normal part of life. If we're to do that, we also need to make the ministry of God's word a priority. Sunday service, adult education, community groups. These are priorities where we study God's word together. This year, we're going to be finishing the first 11 chapters of Genesis and then pivoting back to John and looking at John for a while. We have adult education classes that start today. One on systematic theology that's going to meet right here in the worship center. And then one on spiritual gifts. And if you haven't taken a SHAPE class, we'd love for you to be part of that. But these are ways that we let God's word form us. But more than that, when we think of the spiritual disciplines and think of things like prayer and Bible reading and memorization, what are ways that we can encourage each other to do that? Prod each other, stir each other up to do that, and be contagious Christians in that way. Sharon. Okay? And that's helpful, right? Yeah, so you leave it unread and then read real quick. Leave the text unread, read it real quick. Yeah, I know. That's powerful, though. That's powerful motivation to the accountability and to do this together. I know many of you send texts to others. Hey, did you read your Bible today? What did you read? That's a way we an easy way to prod each other, stir each other up. Anyone else? Ideas? And going with the whole vision thing, if you're in the balcony and you want to share, you got to wave your hand a lot because I can't see real well up there. How do we help each other in spiritual growth? Yeah, commit to memorizing a section of scripture together. Again, these things, when we have accountability, when we're doing it with a friend, are powerful. Share where we're struggling. Yeah, I need prayer in this area. I just need to share this with a friend. And that draws us closer together because that's part of the solution. Good. Yeah. Yeah, you can partner with a person or a small group of people and do a more in-depth Bible study. Sometimes I've seen groups that even just read God's word together. Hey, we're gonna go get some Starbucks or Dutch Bros or whatever your thing is, and we're gonna read God's word together. We're gonna study God's word together. Good. One more. Yeah, there is power in spiritual growth in community that maybe is unmatched in all the others, but yet it's the one that we think we should do alone. And so we want to be, if we're about contagious discipleship, where we're helping each other grow in our walk with God, we need to be doing these things and talking about some of these things. I know... several of us are using the Bible Memory app, and we're memorizing God's word that way. And I know one or two of you will notice when I'm not caught up, and I'll get a little text that says, hey, this is a reminder. And I'm like, oh, no, I got to do something. It's really good, because sometimes life gets busy and I forget, and that keeps me in God's word. And even if I can do a couple verses a day, at least I know there's progress there. And so when we think of discipleship, the question to ask is, how can I go deeper in the word, in worship and prayer, and help someone else do the same? Fourth core value is serving. God wants his church to be devoted to ministry. And this one, I think, is the most obvious of something we do together, most obvious of ways we encourage each other. But this is using our gifts and abilities to serve God and others through his church. It's the question of, where does God want me to serve in his church? Because God desires that every person in the church serve and is part of the growing up. In Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, and it's talking about Jesus there, the head of the church, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And it's using the body there as an illustration of God's church, and as each part does its work properly, the whole body grows. And the whole body is built up in love. And so we want to be a church that serves. And that's one of the things that I know about our church. When you look at different percentages of people involved in some sort of ministry, you guys rock. You guys do a great job of that. And it's amazing how many people are involved in some way in ministry, which goes back to the list of outreach events we couldn't do alone. That's evident of that. Keep up the good work. Let's keep looking for ways to serve together. We as a church, we're committed to finding a place for every believer to serve, because every believer has a spiritual gift or more than one and can serve God through that. When we're servants, which, by the way, we're not just created to serve, we're created as servants. And that's the imagery that's used in the gospel, the gospels, the New Testament. We're called servants. And so that's our identity. It's who we are. And so when we serve, we are simply fulfilling the identity God has given us. And it affects our approach to ministry, our time for ministry, our commitment to ministry, our leadership in ministry. We serve first, not as a job, but as a joy. I don't have time this morning to highlight every ministry and every ministry you can serve in. But if there's one that you're like, wow, that looks interesting, talk to the ministry leader, because we are always looking to incorporate people into ministry. Or talk to one of the pastors or elders, and we will sort of pave the way for that to happen. It's a little bit of what the SHAPE class is about. And so the question is, where can I be part of God's work this year? And like we've done with the others, how do we help each other get involved in ministry? How do we... And maybe the question is more, how do we help each other not burn out in ministry? How do we help each other have enthusiasm for ministry? Because we could list a lot of ways where we make ministry hard for each other. And we can talk about complaining spirits, and we can talk about just contentiousness. But how do we help people want to serve and to enjoy serving? Anyway, and again, think of it, what would help you? There is power in a smile. At least pretend like you're enjoying. No, just kidding. Yeah, smile. Be enthusiastic about it. Be excited about it. Yeah, be grateful for someone else that's helping in the ministry. I think this is an area we could grow in, and we could do more encouraging in as a church, of noticing when people are involved in ministry and mentioning it, being grateful for that. Someone else? Terry.
Did you see a person who is gifted in a certain way encourage that person to say, I see this in you?
Yeah. And those words of affirmation are often words we don't get and we don't see. But that can be very helpful and very instrumental in someone continuing in ministry. Someone else. Yeah, absolutely. And so many times when we can share that joy, that then is contagious and breeds more joy. And it breeds an excitement for what God is doing. I love like Project Touch when people come back from the neighborhood and say, hey, this person talked to me and this person took the package and the stories are going back and forth. And it's like, yeah, I want to be part of that. And so these are things we can do. But in ministry, we want to be... the people that encourage one another, that challenge each other, but to build each other up. Servants avoid the things that kill ministries and seek to build each other up. So where can I be part of what God is doing this year? As we sort of wrap up thinking through the different aspects of our church, our core values, but these are the aspects of discipleship, I want to go back and read the passage that we read and look at the passage we looked at in worship, and just to use sort of as a closing illustration. And I love it when scripture provides that for us. And the situation here is Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. This is who Paul has discipled, who Paul has led to the Lord and built up in the Lord. And he's challenging Timothy to do the same. In the very next chapter, in chapter 2, he's going to say, what I've given you, and teach others also, entrust others who will do the same. And we see this model of discipleship. But in 2 Timothy 1, we see Paul encouraging Timothy and encouraging him to fan into flame his ministry and his gift, to not be ashamed about the testimony of our Lord. He says to follow the pattern that you've heard from me. And the feel is very much that Paul is trying to take Timothy, who could be a little timid, and encouraging him and motivate him to discipleship. And so it's a great story and a great example for us as we think of contagious discipleship. How can we be about discipleship in a way that makes others want to be part of it? So 2 Timothy chapter 1, looking at verse 4. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. And so Paul's motivation, Paul's challenge to him to disciple and to do ministry and to be about what God wants him to do starts with a statement of care. I remember you with tears, and probably at their parting that it was hard and there were tears. I long to see you. And I can think of Paul as like tough guy Paul, a guy that endured stonings, guy that escaped cities through city walls and baskets and all that. But here Paul says, I remember your tears. I remember that leaving each other was hard. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. And if we're looking at discipling in a way that is contagious, discipling with care and relationship draws people in. Discipling with care and relationship draws people in. This is our challenge as a church. We could have a great discipleship program, and we could have someone up front that teaches about discipleship, but if it never involves care, if it never involves relationship with each other, A, I don't think it's good discipleship. B, it's not very attractive. But people are drawn to real relationship. And so commitment to discipleship to each other and to those relationship draws people in. Paul goes on in verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith. And he's talking to Timothy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwells first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And it's interesting because Paul, as he's trying to challenge and motivate and spur Timothy on, he goes to remember who's invested in you. Remember those that have built into your life. Remember the faith of those that have gone before. And I think there's a great lesson there as we are looking at discipleship and will I be part of discipleship? Man, I just don't have time for it. Should I make this a priority? I think we can resonate with Paul and say, remember those that have invested in you. remember those that have poured into your life. And we honor them by living a life that is walking with God and that is doing the same. Moms, dads in the room, is there a greater joy than seeing your kids walk with God? And seeing your kids chase God's work for them? And seeing them make a difference for God? I can't explain that emotion, but I know it. And it is such a joy. And that's a way that we encourage others to discipleship, is remembering those that have invested in us. It is hard when you have people that have been family and invested in you and really built in you. It is hard then to watch someone say, I'm out. Either I'm not going to walk with God, or you know what, I'm going to look for a different situation. And we forget the value of those that have invested in us. There are risks to investing in people's lives. There are risks to friendship. There are risks in marriage. But it's worth it. It's worth it as we build those relationships. Remember those that have invested in you. And here, it's your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. It's Paul. And I know that faith is in you now. And so there's an anchor there. Who has invested in you? Who has helped you grow with God? One of the ways that we are contagious in our discipleship is to thank them. And you already mentioned that, but to thank them this week. And so this week, think of someone that has meant a lot to you in your walk with God, not just in life, but in your walk with God, and thank them. Celebrate what God has done. Paul goes on to Timothy in verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. And this is Paul, Dad Paul, going to his son Timothy and saying, oh, you're gifted in God. I see this in you. Do it. God wants to use you in this way. Fan into flame the gift of God. It's, the idea is taking this little ember, and you know, we've all done campfires, or maybe not everyone. I did. And you blow on the little embers, and you put some little twigs there, and you want it to go into this flame. That's the picture of what Paul is telling Timothy. Fan into flame the gift of God. Use it. Be devoted to it. Make this a priority and work at it so that there's a flame there. There's enthusiasm. There's power. And so discipleship done with enthusiasm is powerful and contagious. Discipleship done with enthusiasm is powerful and contagious. And Paul's trying to build that into Timothy. In the next verse, I can think of Timothy saying, but I can't pastor because of this, or I can't disciple because of this, I can't do this, and we have all of our buts. But verse 7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. And so we choose to disciple. We choose to fan into flame what God has given us. And that enthusiasm is powerful to others. When I see you fanning into flame your gifts, when I see you serving God, it makes me want to serve God. When I see you reading your Bible and memorizing, it makes me want to read my Bible consistently and memorize. That enthusiasm, rather than, oh, I'm a Christian, have to do these things, have to read my Bible today. But to do that where we're fanning it into a flame of power is amazing. Then we go on to the next big section, 8 through 12, and it's a reminder of what we've already talked about. Contagious discipleship is more than just a social club. It intentionally includes a focus on God. And so Paul here is saying, fan into flame, and I remember your faith, and he's about to say, follow my example. But here in the middle, he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And so he's calling Timothy in, and discipleship often is about asking someone to join you in the process, asking someone to be part of it. And he's calling him in. Don't be ashamed about the Lord. Don't be ashamed that I'm a prisoner of his, but share in the suffering of the gospel. Be part of what God is doing. The power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. And we see the basis of Paul and Timothy's relationship, the basis of their discipleship. It's not just time together. It's time focused on God's work together. And that's one of the biggest mistakes I think we can make in discipleship, is think it's just getting together for lunch or just getting together for coffee or just talking about sports or just talking about whatever is important, our kids or whatever. Discipleship always intentionally comes back to the Word of God and intentionally comes back to spiritual discussions. Now, one of the things I want to communicate to us this year, because when I say discipleship, some of you are thinking one-on-one or one-on-two, right? And you're like, how do I do that? And all these hours a week. I would present that as we talk about contagious discipleship, that we think of Matthew 28, where it's as we're going through life, we disciple, and that it might be one-on-one, it might be one-on-two, and I think those are valuable, and I have several relationships like that. But it also is just, if you're sitting there, you're like, I don't have time for this, then think differently. Think, what in my normal schedule can I invite someone to help me with? Anyone need help cleaning their house? No, I'm not offering. Because you want it clean. But invite another lady or invite a young lady over to say, hey, I'm going to clean my house. Do you want to just join me? And we'll just hang out because I want to invest in you. And you can take things we already do and infuse them with a spiritual intentionality, and that's discipleship. Make sense? And so some of the barriers to discipleship, I think we have to, it's not just get over it, it's let's rethink it. Because time is a real barrier for some of you. Some of you are like so swamped that you're not sure what to do, and I get that. And so rather than saying, well, I don't care, carve 2 more hours out of your schedule, okay, what in your schedule would actually help your schedule and do discipleship? It's thinking about it differently. Thinking about things we ordinarily do and inviting each other to be part of that. But contagious discipleship is more than just social. It's intentionally including a focus on God. And the last verse there, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Now, I think there's two aspects to this. I think Paul has to be living for God to say this, right? Because if I walk up to you and say, you know what, follow my example, I'm either really proud and arrogant, or I better be walking with God. That's hard to say. But he's also saying to Timothy, I want what I'm doing to rub off on you. I want what I'm doing to be something you can imitate. And contagious discipleship rubs off on people. It's not just a forced, you have to live this way, but as we are together, as we build those relationships, we rub off on each other, for better or for worse. And our challenge is to make sure it's better. Make sure it's walking with God. Just some interesting thoughts. We're going to spend some more time talking about some resources in weeks to come, talking about ways to be contagious. Like I said, I want to do some deeper questions and that just can be ways that you can, in your relationships, answer them together to go a little deeper. But how does God want you to be involved in discipleship this year? How does he want you to enthusiastically be involved so it's contagious, so we're spurring each other on to love and good deeds? I put in your notes our discipleship page on our website, and it has some resources. It has a handbook. It has a bunch of books you can go through together. We'll talk through more of those. What I want to leave us with as an action item today is usually on Vision Sunday, we start our Titus initiative. And our Titus initiative is following Titus 3:14. Again, Paul discipling another young man. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. And out of that, we've had this idea that if we can give you tools to do outreach, then we are encouraging each other to do outreach. Or if we can give you tools to build those relationships, but also tools to help each other and to be God's hand and feet. And so what we've done, and for those that haven't done it before, they're out in the lobby. There's a table, and there's just going to be gift cards spread out on that table. And those gift cards are specifically for you to take to give to someone else, and not the cashier, as you're paying for things, that to give to someone else that maybe has a need that you hear of, or maybe just needs encouragement. Maybe you know someone that's down. Maybe you have a neighbor you've been trying to reach with the gospel, and you can give them a card and say, you know what, this is from my church. We just want you to know Jesus loves you. You're not alone. I'm here for you. Wherever you have those relationships, take a card or two, pray that God would show you who to give it to, and then give it to them and say, this is because God loves you. I'm not looking for the whole four spiritual laws, pin them to the wall until they accept Christ. Just tell them God loves them. And it's because it's from Village. You don't even have to mention Village. But it's a way that we can show them God's care. And take those, and in the next 3-4 weeks, let's intentionally pray that God would give us opportunities to give those out and see what God does. Because I am convinced, and what we've seen in the past, is God has used these in a lot of great ways. Because all of a sudden some needs will come to mind of neighbors or people at work or people at the grocery store, wherever it may be, people in our circles. And we have an opportunity to say, this is what we're about. We love Jesus. We want others to love Jesus too. And so use those. Take those just as we exit today. Grab a gift card or two. Be praying for who God would want you to give that to. And that'll be our first step today of contagious discipleship, of how we together do this and together share the love of Christ. I'd like worship team to come up, and we'd like to end with one last song that just asks for our year that God be our vision, that God and his word direct us, and that we are open to that and responsive to that. Let's stand and worship our Lord together. Lord God, we pray that you're our vision, your work, your word, building each other up, discipling and making disciples of you as you have asked us to do. Lord, help us to do that in a way that is just contagious across this whole congregation. Lord, that we can see your hand working, that we can see people growing in you, that we can see people coming to you. Lord, help us to be part of that. We praise you and thank you for our salvation. We give you all glory.